know guys know about Hezekiah. He was a king. He was one of the kings of the southern kingdom of Israel. His name means God has strengthened. And Hezekiah needed a lot of strength. He was the son of Ahaz. Ahaz was probably one of the most wicked kings that Israel had. Ahaz's story is found in Second Chronicles. It's found in the story about him. And when he took over, he took all the vessels from the house of the Lord that Solomon had built and took them and sold them, gave them to the enemies, the Assyrians. He got rid of almost everything that was in the temple. And then they went up, and we talked about before how he would go up into the high places. That's where the heathens and the pagans would worship up on the mountains. And he would go up on the mountains and burn incense to other gods. He closed the temple door, wouldn't let anybody into the temple. It became a place of ruin. And so he was not a very good king for Israel. Did not serve the true God. And then in verse 27 of 2 Chronicles it says, "And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel." So he was so bad they didn't even bury him with the other kings. The people did not like him and all. And then Hezekiah, his son, will come into power. Now Hezekiah was 25 years old when he started as king, when he became king of Israel. And it says that he will go in and clean out the temple. He will tear down all the pagan altars of Molech and of every one of them that Ahaz had made a treaty with Assyria, with all the other countries, and he will sacrifice. He will bring the sacrifices back in with the Levites. So he started out as one of the great kings that Israel had. He was the son of King Ahaz and Abijah. And Abijah was the daughter of the prophet Zechariah. So she had some good training. She was trained by a man of God, and apparently she trained her son well. Her son did not listen to his daddy and his foreign and pagan religion, but he listened to his mom. Hezekiah will reign for 29 years, from about 715 to 687 B.C. He will be one of the four godly kings of Judah, were in the southern kingdom. And those other good kings were Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah. So Hezekiah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah were really good kings that the southern kingdom had. Now, if you remember right, when Solomon, when David became king, the kingdom split. You had the northern and the southern. David was king over the southern kingdoms for a while, and then he brought them back together. When Solomon was king, Solomon kept the kingdom together, and then at the end of his reign, because of what Solomon didn't turn his back on God, but the things that he did, the kingdom split again. And his son will reign in the southern kingdom, Solomon, and another king will go over the northern kingdom. Now, the reason why we're kind of studying the kings of the southern kingdom is because that's where the lineage of Jesus Christ comes from. King Hezekiah was a real good friend of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is will be a great influence in the life of King Hezekiah. Isaiah is a true man of God. He helped many of the kings in that kingdom in the southern kingdom to remain true to the God.
There's a good-looking guy.
In his first month in office, Hezekiah will open the temple gates, and he will once again allow the people to have access to God. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, that's where the people were able to once a year come and atone for their sins. God would come to the temple and accept that sacrifice. So it's not like we have today, where we can boldly come before the throne of God and talk to God. The people, you had the priest to talk to God for them, and then they also had the sacrifices. So now they were able to again have the temple and be able to use the temple to have access to God. He will call the priest and the Levites and order them to purify the temple and to repair the temple and to remove all the idols that were in the sanctuary. It says it took them 16 days just to clean up the temple. It was so bad. This temple must have been a miraculous looking temple that Solomon built. And so to have it to become in disarray must have been heartbreaking to God. When I was studying this, I'm thinking about what do we do with the temple of God, though? The temple of God that we have is us. He lives in our temple. And what are all the ugly, unclean things that we allow into our life? So we can say, oh, these kings were really bad, but sometimes we don't do it just as the same as they do. So when the idols were removed, Hezekiah will restore the sacrifice and worship that was prescribed by David. And then it likened Hezekiah as like David and Solomon. So to me, that would be a great thing if somebody said, you like David, King David. You know, you're just a good man of God. Hezekiah is credited with the reinstating of the worship and the proper worship. That means the Levites, the ones that play musical instruments, they started playing again, and they did not do like as they did when Ahaz was king. He will bring the covenant, renew the covenant back to the Lord. So when the people saw this happening, they asked for offerings to bring the temple back up to its former grandeur, and said that the offerings just kept coming in and kept coming in and kept coming in to the Levites to get the temple back on track. He will even ask the northern kingdom to come and to start worshiping in the temple as well. Now, many of them would not come, but he invited Ephraim and Manasseh to Jerusalem to participate in their first Passover after they get the temple back together. He will send a letter to all the tribes and ask them to come, which he was trying to reunite the kingdom back together. But they said that with this Passover, that they usually the Passover feast and is last about a week, and after the week was over, this first when they did this first Passover after getting the temple back together, when the first week was over, the people asked, "Can we do another week? Can we come back again for another week?" And they did 2 weeks worth of the Passover, which was never done, had never been done before, and hadn't been done after. So Have you ever been in those old tent revivals where they'd have them a week and then they'd ask at the end of like Saturday night, they'd say, well, this has been so good, let's do another week. They'd have another week. Sometimes they'd have a month-long revival. People must have been really simple if they hadn't had a month-long revival. But,
I was just thinking, you said that the people just kept bringing money, kept bringing money. Mm-hmm. Today's people need to realize that.
That's what keeps this going, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the offerings, yeah. If it doesn't come in, the house of God is not taken care of. So it says that even they, when they went to cleanse the land of all the high places and the pagan worship and all, and the altars, that Hezekiah even broke up the brazen serpent, the bronze snake that Moses had made, and that they had kept, you know, in all the things from representing them coming out of Egypt, because it even represented to them with the snake and with all the other pagan things that he felt like it was. Look like part of the worship of the pagan, so he broke it up, broke it into pieces. So Hezekiah had a lot of things that he was named for, and getting the country back, the servant serving God, because he served the true God as well. And so in the 14th year that he reigned, King Hezekiah's faith was tested by the invasion of an Assyrian king called Sennacherib, which was from, he wanted to come. He had already captured most of the northern kingdom, and he wanted to come down and capture Hezekiah, because before that, Ahaz had been kind of partnering with him. And so Hezekiah told him, he said, he offered the king a bargain. He said, I'll give you some money if you'll just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. And so he gave him 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold to get rid of this Assyrian king. But even though they Sennacherib took the gold, he still surrounded the city and tried to destroy Jerusalem. So Hezekiah went to the prophet Isaiah, and he said, what do I do? Because the Assyrian king wrote him a letter and said, I'm taking your Jerusalem, I'm going to kill everyone in the city, what am I going to do? And so Isaiah told him, he goes, you need to go pray. So Hezekiah went to the temple, took the letters that the king, Assyrian king, had written, and put them on the altar, and prayed to God, and said to Yahweh, and just said, God, you've got to help us. You've got to destroy the Assyrian army. And because of the prayers of Ezekiel, Hezekiah, and Isaiah, Jerusalem was delivered. God sent a host of angels to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 men. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. Said it was like a plague came upon all the army, and all of them died. And so the Assyrian king withdrew all his troops and went back to Nineveh to take care of his wounds that he had been defeated. So Hezekiah, number one, brought the city back, Jerusalem and the southern kingdom, back to God, took care of the temple, and then he was a man of prayer. He knew that he could not do anything on his own. He had to ask help from a man of God, and then ask help from God. Jerusalem, how many have ever been to Israel? In here? Has anybody been to Israel? Maybe I'll take a trip to Israel.
Yeah, let's just go next week, except you're going to...
Yeah, that would be cool.
You're lying. I won't be
going. Not much way either. Well,
no.
Take a boat.
I'm not driving there.
I'm not taking a boat all the way over there either. That's a long time. anyway, Israel must sit up on a hill, basically sits up on a hill, and it needed water brought up to the city for the people that lived in the city. So there is a tunnel called Hezekiah's Tunnel, which is 1,749 feet of tunnel that goes from the Pool of Siloam, that goes up, and they pipe this water up to the city, and it's still there today. Tourists can go into the tunnel and all. So
what kind of pipes did they have all way back then in that time?
And how did they pressurize it to go up that high?
You got me. I wasn't here. Preparing buckets. Yeah, I don't know. There's other towns that use water ducts that, you know, I don't know. I guess they are as smart as we are. I don't know. That's some engineers. So there, one of the main things that Hezekiah is known for is he became very, very ill. And the prophet Isaiah told him, you need to get your house in order because you are fixing to die. And so once again, Hezekiah will pray to God and ask him for help. I mean, when any of us are sick, what's the first thing that we do? We go to God and say, God, can you heal me? God, can you take care of this? Or you have your family start praying for you. And so before Isaiah could even get out of the temple, out of the where Hezekiah was at, God told him, you go back. You go back and tell Hezekiah that I'm going to give you 15 more years to live. So Hezekiah was given 15 more years to live, and for Hezekiah to know that that was the truth, Isaiah told him, he goes, you can either have time go forward, let's see, how many seconds? How was it? Either go back 10 seconds or go forward 10 seconds. Or 10 minutes?
Ten degrees, yeah.
Okay. Forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees. And Hezekiah said, well, it'd be pretty easy for God to make time go forward. He said, I want it to go back. And so there's a big dial that Ahaz had built, and you could see the shadow go back 10 degrees. And Hezekiah knew that he was going to live for another 15 years. Well, in that 15 years that he had left, that he knew, he was the one of the first men to know when he was going to die. He knew how many more years he had left to live. Hezekiah will do some good things, but one of the things he let happen to him, he let his pride get in, a hold of him. And the king of Babylon will come, and he had heard about Hezekiah. He wanted to see everything that had happened in the kingdom. And so Hezekiah takes the king of Babylon through all the temple, all everything that they had. He looked at everything. And because of that, in a few years later, then Babylon will come in and destroy Jerusalem because of his pride that he said, well, look at me, look what I've done. And he gave away his secrets to the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah was a great king. He will, after he dies, then his son will take over, his son Manasseh. will take over, and his son will be one of the worst kings that they ever had. He brings the idols back into the city. Can you imagine the people of Israel? Good king, bad king. Good king, bad king. You know.
Kind of like America, huh?
Oh, it kind of sounds like it, don't it? But some of the things, you know, we can learn a lot from Hezekiah. Number one, even though your parents may be bad, you can rise above it and become a good, godly person. And number two, learn to pray. Take all your troubles and things to the Lord and pray, and God will answer those prayers. Sometimes he doesn't answer them quickly, but he will answer those prayers. So next week, Garland will be doing Elisha and Elijah together. And then the week after that, we will be doing Ezra and Nehemiah. So, anyway, any other things that anybody's got from Nehemiah? I mean, Hezekiah? Too many Mayas. Sounds like a Cajun song.
Is he still moving?
Oh, let's see. Who knows?
He was trying to help Stephen find his mom. In the apartments.
Oh. So he's back here. So he can look at me and he can tell me what hallway I'm even going down at the gardens. He says, your phone's better than mine. Anyway, let's pray and have a word of prayer, and if you guys will help me get the tables up, I would appreciate it. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day.